of the worship on this morning. Our prayer is that we will come together for good and that God will bless our coming together. Also, we are thankful for those who perhaps are visiting among us. And our prayer is that for you, that you will not only be a visitor, but that you'll become one with us in this great fellowship that we have here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. Later on, after the service on this morning, the elders will recognize those who are visiting among us. I am Brother Wilkerson, and I have the honor of being able to share the message from the Word of God this morning. We're mindful of those couples who are out of the city, and they have traveled, and they've gone to a retreat on behalf of marriage. And we just pray that they'll be able to reinforce and to fortify and come back stronger in their relationships than when they left. People ask me oftentimes, Brother Wilkerson, you've been here and you haven't gone to the retreat yet. And I said, that's right. I'm trying to stay married. I'm trying not to retreat. Say, when you retreat, isn't that when you go like, oh, no. So we're trying to work this thing out. Trying not to retreat. But we, again, are prayerful for those who are on the retreat. And we know and are sure that they're having a great time. I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Exodus. And the scripture that was read in our hearing comes from verse number 26. So if you open your Bibles to Exodus and you meet with us there in verse number 26, we certainly want to appreciate all of the brothers who have had a public role in the worship this morning. They have done a marvelous job. Exodus chapter 32 and verse number 26. And we'll be reading from the King James translation. I understand that all of our technical people, in terms of the ones who are doing the recordings, audio and video, are also on the retreat. So you're going to have to make notes and memorize what we're going through on this morning. Exodus chapter 32 and verse number 26, the Bible says, "Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, 'Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me.' And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him." And for those of you who like to entitle lessons, the lesson this morning is entitled, "Who is on the Lord's side?" Who is on the Lord's side? The book of Exodus is an amazing book. And it gives us a lot of the type, if you will, for Christ. Moses is typifying or a form, a type of Christ. And he is prefiguring, he is showing us what Jesus is going to be like when Jesus comes. And he's also showing us what God's people are like. Not only under the Mosaical dispensation, he's showing us what kind of people we can anticipate are going to be under the New Testament dispensation. He's showing us, in other words, what kind of people we can become if we are not careful. We've come to a decision, and there's a decision point that all of us who have obeyed the gospel have come to. We have made the decision that we are on the Lord's side. Is that all right? I like Brother Stan. Brother Stan and I share that phrase. Is that all right? We say that. Is that all right? I hear myself when he's leading the song there. Not the singing part, but the... Is that all right? Who is on the Lord's side? So just wanted to get everybody awake and involved this morning. I want you to turn to the people around you and ask that question. Who is on the Lord's side? Who is on the Lord's side? And as we go through and we look at the scripture, I think that we'll find that there is room for growth in our relationship with God. Moses is a great leader of the people of God. And if you're not careful, sometimes people just group themselves around leaders even today. I said in our Wednesday night Bible class that I know one preacher who said that when he was traveling, when he was going somewhere, he would never announce it beforehand to the congregation. And I said, brother, why not? He said, because if I announce that I'm not going to be there, then a whole lot of them not going to go. Who is on the Lord's side? Who is on the Lord's side? And I understand that because some people will say, well, if the preacher's visiting, then I'm going to be visiting too. But brother, sister, listen. If we are aligned behind a particular preacher, if we are aligned behind a particular Bible school teacher, if we are aligned behind a particular song leader, and we are not aligned behind Christ, then we got to ask ourselves the question, who is on the Lord's side? Who's on the Lord's side? We are on the Lord's side as members of the family of God. The people saw Moses and Aaron go up into the mountaintop. And they were going up with 70 of the elders, and the elders came back down, but Moses and Aaron remained up in the mountaintop. And the glory of God is on top of the mountain. And in Exodus chapter 24 and verse number 17, the Bible says, and the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. Lord have mercy. What kind of sight would that have been? To see them go up into the mountain and know that they are there and communing and talking with God. How many of us would have been waiting in anxious expectation and anticipation when they're going to come back down and share with us what thus is the message, the word of God? But you know, sometimes, now listen. I know this is in the Old Testament, and the Bible tells us that whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for what?
Our learning.
Our learning. So let's get some learning going on around here. Is that all right? Because sometimes we are, if we're not careful, we are guilty of short attention spans. Anybody got a short attention span? Don't raise your hand. And we lose focus. And we don't remember like we ought to remember. And we don't pay attention like we ought to pay attention. In Exodus chapter 32 and verse number 1, the Bible says, Moses delayed to come down out of the mount. The people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. Moses gone, 40 days and 40 nights. Is God still God after 40 days? Is God still God after 40 nights? My question still then is, who is on the Lord's side? These folk came to Aaron, and that was the associate minister. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. And they came to him, and they said, get up, Moses. We don't know. Or get up, Aaron. We don't know what has happened to Moses. He's gone up, and I know the radiance of the Lord still has to be up on the mountaintop. But these folks say, we don't know what done happened to Moses. Get up and make us some gods that are going to go before us. The people started to revert in their hearts and their minds, even after 3 days of being saved, coming out of the Red Sea and marching through the wilderness of sin. They had come through the Red Sea on dry ground, baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And even after 3 days, they start arguing and murmuring and fussing and complaining about stuff. Lord have mercy. I'm thankful that that was the people of God under the old law. We don't do that now. Amen. Because we're going to learn from their example, right? An amazing thing. Aaron is going to try to let them know at least, look, sin costs. Sin's going to cost you something. Look at Exodus 32 and verse number 2. Exodus 32 and verse number 2. The Bible says, and I'm just going to read a part of that verse, the part that says, and Aaron said unto him, them, break off the earrings, the golden earrings. Golden earrings. God had blessed the children of Israel when they had come out of Egyptian bondage. He'd given them a bounty, if you will. He'd given them loot. They had looted. They had taken a treasure, a possession from the people of Egypt. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 3 and verse number 22, but every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourneth in her house jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, and ye shall put them on your sons and upon your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptian. Aaron tried to let them know, sin costs. Do you know that even today, sin costs, brother? Sin costs, my sister. It costs us our time. It costs us our talent. It costs us our money. It costs us our attention. And any time we take that and we give it away to somebody else rather than God, brother, listen, sister, listen, that is sin. And the question is, who is on the Lord's side? Is anybody on the Lord's side this morning? Who is on the Lord's side? He says it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you the blessings, the fruits that have been given to you by God. When the Egyptian exhibit was in the city of Houston, my family and I had an opportunity to go and visit years back. And they showed some of those golden earrings. You think you wear earrings today, ladies? Them golden earrings, they were 16 ounces worth of gold. That's one earring. You're talking about putting earrings on. They had hole punch size holes in their ears, and they build up a callus on the inside. Some of the kids are bringing it back now, and they're putting reinforced rings in there. You see these big old holes? Man, and they had those golden earrings, 60. That's, man, how much is gold worth? Aaron said, break them off. And you know what they did? They gave them to him. And yes, they were willing to give the gift that God had given them in order to satisfy self. Brother, listen. Sister, listen. The question is, help me. Turn to the person next to you, around you, behind you. Who is on the Lord's side? Who is on the Lord's side? Sin costs. In Exodus chapter 32 and verse number 6, Aaron goes along with this foolishness because it's, quote unquote, what the people wanted. Do we do what the people want? Do the elders do what the people want to do? Listen to me. If we do what we as people want to do, we're going to be wrong every time. We ought not to ever want to do what we want to do, but let's ask the question, who is on the Lord's side? And let us do what God wants us to do. Let us make the choice. Let us make the decision to follow after God. In Exodus chapter 32 and verse number 6, notice this, typifying what they are going to do and showing us what they're going to do. And they rose up early on the morrow. Yeah, that's kind of like 8 o'clock worship, huh? You had to get up early to get here for 8 o'clock, right? I was running across the parking lot when the brother going to say, Harry, you on the program. I say, all right. I kept on, you know, it wasn't running. It was a light jog. They got up early on the morrow and offered, what's the word? Burnt offerings. You know what a burnt offering sacrifice is? A burnt offering sacrifice is where the offerer took his sacrifice. He laid his hands on it in substitution of himself. He slayed that animal. He killed that animal. And it was a sacrifice of self. And the entire animal was burnt off. And it was a representation of my complete dedication to God. That's what a burnt offering is. It is a sacrifice that says, I belong wholly to God. I belong completely to God. I belong fully to God. Do we belong fully to God, brothers and sisters? That was the amen moment there. Got to get some coaching going along here. Don't we want to belong wholly to God? I mean, but listen, so if we want to wholly belong to God, listen, we've got to lay down any and everything that moves us away from God. They had got up early. They made a burnt offering. And notice what else? And what else did they bring? All right, you're looking in your Bible. That's good. They offered a peace offering. And that's an offering that says that we are reconciling our relationship between us and God. And Jesus is our peace offering. He laid down his life on Calvary's cross to purchase, if you will, peace between us and God for you and for me. And somebody ought to be on the Lord's side. Who is on the Lord's side? Who is on the Lord's side? It's like a pep rally, brother. I am on the Lord's side. I'm going to be on the Lord's side. I want to be on the Lord's side. Let's leave here with a higher sense of purpose, a higher sense of dedication. Lord, have mercy. In the same verse, are you still there? Exodus 32 and verse number 6. After the burnt offering, saying, I'm completely dedicated to God. After the peace offering, the sacrifice that Jesus made for us, the peace offering as well as our sin offering, Jesus did that for us. The Bible says they made these offerings and the people sat down to eat and drink. We like to eat and drink, don't we? Oh, Lord, have mercy. They sat down to eat and drink. And after the eating and drinking was over, the Bible says, and they rose up to play. Lord, have mercy. Now, that word play there is that they started to indulge in revelry. They started to indulge in singing. Oh, some singing is going on in the camp now. Oh, they started to engage in dancing. And folk go, ain't nothing wrong with singing and dancing. Yeah, I understand you, brother. Listen, but watch out. Because here, they want to do what they have seen all up throughout their history. The heathen folk do. They were singing. And they were dancing. And the music was playing. And the wine was flowing. They were eating and drinking and singing and playing, and they got up and they started to indulge in all kind of sexual immorality. And these are the people of God. And Moses is on the mountaintop along with Aaron, and they're having communion with God. We don't know what done happened to this Moses. Make us gods. Oh, it calls over here. Let's take these golden earrings. We'll do, you know, they paid the price. Listen, brother, sister, we got to get something straight here. God is not the one who tempts us to sin. The Bible says in James chapter 1 and verse number 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. So the temptations to sin do not come to us from God. And I know he says, count it all joy when we fall into diverse temptations. We are through the overcoming of the temptations, becoming stronger men and women for God. Who is on the Lord's side? Who's going to stand for God when other folk are rising up after eating and drinking and they get up to sing and to dance and to play and to indulge in sexual immorality? Who is on the Lord's side? Who is going to stand for God? Notice, God is not ignorant of what goes on planet Earth. Did you know that? God knows, and I know folks don't like to talk about these kind of things, but it's in the book. And we're going to at least touch on what's in the book. It's the word of God that is going to judge us in the last day. Look, they became examples of what we are not to be like. If you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 7, and it gives a commentary on what happened over here in the book of Exodus chapter 32. Look, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 7, the Bible says, neither be ye idolaters, as some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Now, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 7, and get verse number 8. Notice, it says, neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day. This number fell in one day among the people of God, the children of God who are completely dedicated to God, the people of God who made peace offerings to God, and there fell in one day 23,000. 23,000 people died in one day indulging in idolatry and revelry because they were seeking to please the flesh, got sidetracked, and were no longer pleasing to God. Lord, have mercy. Don't we need somebody to go between us and God? Amen. We need an intercessor. God is going to tell Moses. He's going to tell Moses, hey, look, you know what? Those people, them people that you brought, those people, he said, they have corrupted themselves. In verses 7 and 8, he said, they have corrupted themselves. Going back over to Exodus chapter 32, they have corrupted themselves. And he said, they sure did forget about me real quick. Lord, have mercy. They have turned, in verse number 8, they have turned aside quickly out of the way, which I commanded them. How long can we be gone from the house of God before we forget about God? How long? Listen, it's a question to try to focus us, try to focus myself, try to get us committed to know that we are on the Lord's side, whether we're at the church house or our house. Or anywhere in between. Who is on the Lord's side? I know that the people of God need an intercessor. The people of God need someone to stand between us and God. Moses makes intercession for the people of God in Exodus chapter 32 and verse number 11. Because God said, you know what God told Moses? He said, get down there real quick, but I'm going to tell you what. Moses, go down there, but I'm going to kill every last one of them. Lord, have mercy. If God was going to destroy us for our sin, how many of us would be killed? Every last one of us. There's none that doeth good and sinneth not. There is none righteous, no, not one. We need somebody to stand between us and the righteous God. We need somebody to plead our case. I need somebody to plead my case. I need an intercessor because none of us can stand justified before a righteous God. And God told Moses, go down, I'm going to kill all of them and I'm going to make a righteous nation out of you. And what Moses said, and Moses besought. You know what he begged God, oh God, please, God, please don't kill them. And God, if you wipe them all out, take my name out of your book too. Oh Lord, don't we need somebody like that standing for us? Lord, have mercy, because you know you get the wrong intercessor. am I right? I'm all right. Kill all of them, Lord. I didn't like a lot of them anyway. But Moses is typifying. The Bible is full of types and anti-types. And if we don't recognize that, we miss a lot of the big message. Because folk talking about, well, Moses can't change God's mind. He's showing us what the job of an intercessor is. He's pleading for us. In the Gospel of Luke chapter 13 and verses 7 through 9, it talks about the vineyard and the vine dresser and the tree that had no fruit. But it's not about the vineyard. It's not about the vine dresser. It's not about the tree that had no fruit. It's typifying for us, just like Moses, the job of Christ. Notice the Bible says, then said he unto the dresser of the vineyard, behold, these 3 years I've come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and none, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? Why is it standing here? It ain't producing none. Cut it down. How many times has God come and looked at us and there's no fruit on the tree? And the verdict would be, cut it down. It's not producing anything to the honor and glory of God. It's taking up space. God don't want us taking up space, brother. God doesn't want us taking up space, sister. Lord have mercy. You know what? I looked at my timer here and it said, you got to stop. Anyway, it didn't say that, but we ain't got no television going. In Bible class? Yeah, okay, all right. All right, let me find a place to land. Somebody say, well, you know, preaching is a lot like flying an airplane. You know, you get up there, but you got to come down. So I'm down now, and we're going to try to find a place to land. Can you go to, this is a great chapter, great chapter. Well, the Bible is just a great book. Shows us all about God and his relationship with us and our relationship with him. Now notice, go back to the book of Exodus. Because we need somebody that's going to stand between us and God. When Moses went down there, God had told him he was going to kill everybody. And when Moses went down there and he saw the revelry, he saw the people, they were running around in the camp. They ain't got no clothes on. It's to the embarrassment of the people of God, all of those other nations around them. Look at them. Ain't them the people of God? What they doing down there? And Moses done pleaded and begged God, no, God, don't wipe them out. But when Moses gets down there and he sees all the stuff that is taking place, that brings us down now to verse number 26. Moses asked the question, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And when he called out, well, who's on the Lord's side? I don't know what the Levites were doing before that, but you know what they go like? Oh, you know, I'm going. I'm with you, Moses. And the question is not who's on Moses' side, it's who's on the Lord's side. It's not about who's on my side, it's who's on God's side. Who's on Christ's side? Who is going to stand with Jesus? Lord have mercy. We stumble, we fall, we make many mistakes. But God gives us an avenue of coming back through him, through not starting with confession. Yes, it doesn't start with confession. You know what comes before confession? Repentance. We got to change our heart and our mind about sin. We got to change our heart and our mind about living outside the word and the will of God. We got to repent. And we repent. And then we come and we ask for forgiveness. And we can ask the congregation, we can ask the family of God, please, will you strive with me in prayer to God? Who is on the Lord's side? Who is on the Lord's side? And maybe there's someone here that has not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can be on the Lord's side this morning. The question, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Over in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verses 1 through 4 over there, summarizing it over there, it says, moreover, brethren, he says, I deliver unto you that, first of all, which I also received. Paul says, what was it he received? That Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures. I told you, I saw a lady who had on a beautiful, beautiful necklace, and it was a crucifix, and it had Jesus on the cross. I didn't get a chance to talk to her. Don't leave Jesus on the cross. Jesus on the cross, he had to go to the cross. But if Jesus stayed on the cross, Jesus can't save us. Amen. Paul says, I delivered unto you first of that, all that which I also received, that Jesus died for our sins according to the scripture. Where were the quote in the church? In John's book, we quoting this? And he was buried. So we got the death and we got the burial of Jesus Christ. He was buried according to the scriptures. Doing some teaching here now. And what else happened here? And he arose when? On the third day. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 4. He's declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Who is on Jesus' side? Who's on the Lord's side? If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, then if you repent, again, make up your mind that you want to live for Jesus. Confess. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And last, but certainly not least, be baptized for the remission of sins. And guess what? You can be on the Lord's side this morning. If there's anybody who wants to renew your relationship with God or wants to be baptized into the body of Christ, you want to be on the Lord's side, come now as we stand and sing the song that has been selected.
He's sweet, I know.
He's sweet.
And you know that storm
clouds may
rise and that strong winds may blow, but you know that I'll tell the earth till then wherever
I go,
I'll tell them that I Savior, He's sweet.
Thank you, Flint.
No, I'm singing, He's sweet. Sweet, I know. Oh,
He's sweet, I know.
And you know that storm clouds
may
rise and that strong
May
the Lord.